Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the first chapter of Luke. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So my question is, what do we have against Mary? If you sit here in chapel and we have a special service of the Annunciation, wonderful. But we don't do this much out in the church. I can tell you that because I don't preach much on this text, and I've been in the church for a while. So, what is it about Mary? I see Mary Magdalene Lutheran churches every now and then, but somehow, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ Lutheran Church, does not appear very many places. In Germany, we have quite a few. Here, we don't have so many. Well, let's lay that aside for a minute. Mary's obviously important. She's obviously nice. She obviously bore our Lord Jesus Christ. She was favored by the Lord, and all men should call her blessed. Even if it appears a little bit Roman Catholic, we too should call her blessed. So what manner of greeting was this for Mary? She had seen her social calendar, and there wasn't an archangel on it. How might we respond if we saw such a vision? Well, I know what I would do. I would say, it's obviously theology of glory. I have to give it up. I'd go see Dr. Harton for a little while and find out what was wrong with me, take some pills, get a little therapy, because I don't really believe in angels. You know, angels, well, maybe like California angels or something, but not real angels. Angels in the outfield, that's okay. I would have been skeptical. You probably would have been skeptical too. Most of you guys out there are guys. You would have gone, how can this be? So Mary had the same problem. She said, I haven't been with a man. How can this be? The impossible problem. A son without a man. Well, it happened once before. That person was called Adam. The second time, it's called the second Adam. So it kind of works out. God gets directly involved. And we have a baby. He is a baby without any special pedigree on earth, and he comes to save us. So Mary asks this eminently practical question, how can I do this? I don't have a man. How shall this be? Plus, it's going to mess up my life. I'm already betrothed to Joseph. He's a nice guy. I was planning on having a life with him. In fact, God has to go to Joseph and explain it to him. That's the other Annunciation. I was asked, what text do you want to use for the Annunciation? I could have preached on Joseph. It's got to be a bit of a crisis for Mary. She's probably a teenager. She's probably not expecting what's happening. She's undoubtedly waiting on Joseph, who she's probably been betrothed to for a while. But we have the word of the Lord, and that word of the Lord cannot be resisted. We have the word from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. Mary has a great attitude, too. God will take care of it. Wow, what an attitude, even with this impossible biological problem. It's the faithful response. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, may it be according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Well, who else responds this way? I like to think Jesus does. Remember, he was in the form of God, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here we have not just a young woman, but the Lord of all submitting and even carrying the sins of Mary. Carrying her sins, carrying your sins, carrying my sins. Here we have the Lord who submits even more than his mother did. We have the Lord who serves, the Lord who bears our sorrows and our difficulties. We have this beautiful model of God coming and serving. We see this at the cross, and this brings us to our service. Can we be like Mary? Yes. God brings us through his word things to do for his kingdom. He tells us, by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he goes on and he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Luther puts this well in his Freedom of a Christian Man. And I know at least one theologian out here who will be happy to hear that I think it's a model of the two kinds of righteousness. We are free to serve because Christ served us and gave his life for us. And so we serve all. But we are also at the same time lords of all who do not need to assert any rights. And therefore we also serve our neighbors. Mary served all of us by bearing the Christ, how inconvenient it might be, we get to bear the burdens of others as well. And so all of us are on this journey of submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, of being raised up by him for service, and of walking and being crucified with him in the service that we take up each and every day. Mary too was exalted by Gabriel, and of course the Messiah was exalted in his resurrection, his ascension, his session, and eventually in the judgment and the eternal reign. So our response is like Mary's. We have been saved by grace through faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we serve gladly. Yeah, I think we could use a bit more Mary in our church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.